Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Russ Dallin, a man we have the privilege of picking the brains of from time to time about areas of the world that deserve a lot more attention than most of us are giving them, and that he follows very closely as the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune. He is also a man who has done business extensively in Latin America. He has been involved both in this country and there in connection with the journalistic piece of this enterprise, but also the national security and public policy, as well as the financial side. So a terrific duty expert. We're always delighted to have him with us. Russ Dallin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Secretary Gaffney. It's always enlightening to get a chance to speak with you.
Well, the enlightenment comes from you, my friend, but I'm delighted that we are able to spread the light. Let me ask you about Venezuela, because we must start there. You follow very closely, Russ, the sort of economic travails of Venezuela. It sounds as though there was something of a stay of execution. I don't know that it constitutes a commutation of sentence, but talk to me a little bit about this agreement that the government of Nicolas Maduro has reached with Crystalex. What's that about?
Well, it's interesting because Crystalex had been forcing basically Venezuela on the on its back foot by trying to seize PDVSA assets, including Citgo in the United States. And they had been progressing in that to try and pierce the corporate veil, which Venezuela themselves have muddled throughout the years, of a legal separation of Venezuela as a shareholder, but 100% shareholder of PDVSA, which is where they make the bulk of their money, billions of dollars a year, obviously. So PDVSA, which has ships on the high sea and owns Citgo in the United States, was not necessarily responsible to Crystalex in that Venezuela was actually the one who expropriated under Chavez the holdings of Crystalex, which was a gold miner in a region that is very rich in gold. Venezuela has one of the largest gold deposits in the Western Hemisphere. In 2008, Chavez had expropriated it. In 2016, Crystalex finally got a full judgment awarding them $1.2 billion for the expropriation by these malandros, and with another $200 million in back interest from the date. So a total package of $1.4 billion. And they had been aggressively pursuing Venezuela such that Venezuela finally felt that piercing the corporate veil and allowing PDVSA to suffer would be too much for them. So they settled in secret this month and buried it on Friday over Thanksgiving. But we were there following it, much to the chagrin of the lawyers in the room who were taking our name in vain. But we exposed it and found out about it, although the deal itself is hidden.
So if this is presumably good for the owners of Crystalex, does it have any wider benefit to bondholders or others doing business in Venezuela, as you see it? And more to the point, where did the money come from? The government of Nicolas Maduro, as you tell us week upon week, is bankrupt. They've despoiled the country, despite the oil wealth and the gold deposits of the country, it's essentially bankrupt. So how did this get undertaken, Russ Dallin?
You're absolutely right. They are on the verge of bankruptcy and in default on several of their bonds. But they are struggling to pay. They have a willingness to pay. But they're doing it on a layaway plan, as impoverished citizens of the world do all over the world. They're paying a little bit each month. Interestingly, that plan had been followed by another company for much the same reasons. Its gold mining operation was seized by Chavez in the 2000s. They were awarded by the International Court, not as much as Crystalex. They were awarded $750 million. But Venezuela finally started paying them after years and years of litigation and tracking them all over the world and going to the Court of Appeals in the United States several times to a settlement where they pay $29.5 million every month. They started in June. So they're on an installment plan. But interestingly, we learned also over the Thanksgiving holidays, while bad news tends to get buried, that Gold Reserve, this Canadian and U.S. company, has been unable to get its money out of Venezuela, that last three payments of $29.5 million a month, so $88.5 million, out of Venezuela because of the sanctions, that no banks want to deal with Venezuela. So now they have $88.5 million and more coming, supposedly, stuck in Venezuela that they can't get out. So they're back in the same boat, essentially.
Well, this doesn't sound good or sustainable, for that matter. And it will be, I'm sure, something we'll be talking about for a while as the unraveling of the Venezuelan economy continues, obviously with horrific costs and other trauma for the people of the country. Let me turn to another subject in your portfolio. Honduras, Russ Dallin, has had an election. There has yet to be a final outcome announced, as I understand it, but it sounds as though the incumbent is going to be defeated. Tell us who that is and what the implications might be, both for the country and perhaps for the region, if he is defeated.
Well, the Honduran television presenter, his name is Salvador Nasralla, has been claiming the victory. The official results have not been given. The initial results show that Nasralla had 45.17% of the vote against 40.21% for the incumbent, the president, Juan Orlando Hernandez. But they only have 57% of the vote so far counted. The European Union has just actually come out and criticized the delay in getting the results. But unfortunately, when you're dealing with a rural and third world Latin American country, they're not given to having complete computer technology, and they do have to count ballots by hand. That also leaves room for cheating as well. So no official decision has been made yet, and we're not necessarily expecting an official decision until Thursday. But at the moment, it looks like the leftist candidate may be in the win.
And again, what would that mean for the policies of the country, and most especially, given our audience is here in the United States, for our interests in that part of the world?
It's not good. Appearing by his side has been other former leftist presidents who were tossed out, like Manuel Zelaya, in basically tossed out by the Supreme Court when they tried to make too many leftist moves. It does not bode well. We had seen a rightist movement in many of the governments, from Argentina to Brazil, what we're seeing now is the left is fighting back, both in Honduras as well as Bolivia, where the president, President Morales, is claiming that it's a violation of his human rights that he can't run again because he's constitutionally barred from serving forever.
I remember that as a cardinal human right, perpetual government power. So we'll be, again, obliged to stay on top of this one, and we appreciate what you do in that regard, Russ Dallin, at the Latin American Herald Tribune and in your other capacities, and look forward to a chance to visit with you about all of these things. Perhaps some others coming up, Guatemala and the controversy over the Trump administration's selection of Joseph McManus to be our ambassador to Colombia. But those are for another day. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Come back to us for sure. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Effney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.